Here's the deal, folks. We're being loaded into the crew compartment of a rocket, a Saturn V space shuttle, whatever you like. If I happen to be talking to anybody who thinks that, you know, NASA has lied and that every space launch has been fake, I'm sorry about your disability. You'll just have to bear with me here as I describe history. This is the deal. We are being loaded alone into the crew compartment of a Saturn V rocket. As a kid, I was always amazed to watch the rocket launches. I was always fascinated by the space program that these pioneers, and there have been many aviation pioneers, the Wright brothers, of course, that was all faked. That was holograms. The Wright brothers, getting on that contraption, you know, it takes guts. One guy, Orville, lying down on the Wright Flyer of 1903 at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, a dangerous enterprise, one man, alone against the elements and a propeller. Well, actually, the propeller wasn't against him, it was for him. I'm skipping ahead now to Charles Lindbergh, solo across the Atlantic Ocean, a daring flight back in the day. Let's talk about breaking the sound barrier. Chuck Yeager, first man to break the sound barrier at level flight. Boom. That takes guts. One man alone in a capsule. Everybody else just like, good luck, kid. Good luck, kid. You're off. Probably faked the whole thing. But anyway, then there's the Apollo program. This is the killer, the Saturn V rocket. This is my analogy to you today. You have this giant bomb constructed, loaded with tons and tons of fuel, ridiculous amounts of fuel. I think this is where the phrase rocket fuel comes from. I think it comes from rocket fuel. And you have these intrepid travelers. We could just look at Alan Shepard, the first man in space, or John Glenn, the first man to orbit the Earth. You can see a video of Alan Shepard's entire flight. Strapped into a tiny compartment, all alone. Here's the thing that always got me about that. That you have these people, and this little tiny capsule is on top of a Roman candle. It's on top of a bomb. And everybody else has to stand away like 2 miles. This is so freaking dangerous that nobody's allowed within 2 miles of this freaking thing, of this launch. It's that dangerous. And yet here's three people or one person on top of it. Yeah, it's so dangerous, so potentially catastrophic that everyone has to stay 2 miles away. Everybody, even the people who load them in. Here you go, you're being loaded in. And you're being locked in, and well, good luck, we're gonna go away now. And everybody runs the hell away from the rocket launch pad. Except three guys who are on top of the bomb, riding it, on their backs, looking straight up into the sky. And the countdown. Here's my analogy. We are going on a big ride. We are pioneers. We are going to be the first non-son of God human beings to go into the celestial realm as human beings and not only inhabit it but rule and reign there in Christ's name. This is the next big move of God, and we have been being prepared for it for years. You and I our trials have been orchestrated. Have you seen some of the things the NASA astronauts have to do? They have to be tested for their capacity to endure all sorts of forces, whether gravity or that force that centrifugal force that they go on these crazy things that turn them upside down. They have to be able to endure cold, heat, darkness, whatever they're trained for. And it's a specialized field, I dare say. It's a specialized field. Our call is an extremely specialized field. And I've told you from the get-go that every trial we go through is specifically, I mean, it's ridiculous. If you look at the astronauts riding this crazy machine that tests them for motion sickness, if you see some of this crap we go through, if you see a video of it, you think these people are nuts to submit to it. I mean, the astronauts, these people are nuts. They're submitting to it. They're submitting to a really freakish thing. It's freakish that people of flesh and blood can go into space where there's, you know, no atmosphere. It, to me, anybody who doubts the space program, you should just, have you ever been on an airliner? Have you ever been on an airliner? Have you ever watched a plane just float down on an invisible cushion of air? To me, if you can do that, you can go into space. The Wright brothers, a heavier than air object lifts off, carries a man up. If you can believe that, which many of you, some of you probably can't. All right, sorry about your luck. But so it's really difficult to survive in a foreign, I mean, it's almost like Mount Everest. In fact, the men who and women who climb Mount Everest, they ascend to a point that's the cruising altitude of a 747 jet. Mount Everest, 28,028 feet. And if you go there unacclimated, you will die within minutes because there's hardly any oxygen up there. Man was not meant to live there, neither were women. So it takes insane preparation to climb Mount Everest. It takes insane preparation to be on a space shuttle or to fly the early Apollo missions, especially. You had to have the right stuff, and those guys had the right stuff. And some would say that we are, if you watch the video I made, Psycho Boy, some would say that we are crazy for believing the things God says of us, that we have been chosen beforehand for the place of a son. Oh, you people are sons of God? And that we have been designated beforehand to be snatched away. Yes, we're going to be snatched away from the earth and taken to heaven. And we believe the Bible that talks about other people who are snatched away into heaven, but those poor people came back. We're not going back. People like Elijah was snatched away into heaven. Some people took spiritual trips, like John, Paul. I'm not talking about the Beatles. I'm talking about the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul, who were taken in spirit or in body, they weren't sure, into celestial realms. So we are being prepared for the next great move of God. But right now, you're being separated. And, you know, the Apollo astronauts or space shuttle astronauts, there comes a time where they have to leave their families. And the day arrives of the launch. This is what I'm telling you. The day is arriving for us to be separated from this earth. And we are being loaded. It's a very lonely enterprise, ladies and gentlemen, to be taken in that elevator up to the top of a Saturn V rocket, to have a hatch opened, to squeeze into the tiny crew compartment, and to have the technicians there say, bye-bye now, and run. And you're sitting on top of a freaking bomb. It's a lonely enterprise. Whether you're Orville Wright or Charles Lindbergh, or the guy who broke the sound barrier that I just mentioned, it's a lonely enterprise. It's dramatic. Dramatic as hell. It's, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's nerve producing. It's jangles you a little bit. But the deal is sealed. It's like a woman who's pregnant. I've heard many pregnant women say this, including my own wife. I can't escape. Well, you can, unfortunately. But for most people, you're going to have the baby one way or the other. Let's put it that way. Something's got to give. We are living in a time where something has to give and something will give. And we are, as I speak, being loaded into a capsule, and you're being separated from your families, from your friends. You're seeing the world differently. The men and women who are prepared to go into space, they begin to think less of the earth, and they begin to be overcome, to be captured by the next round, by the realm they're going into. When you're prepared for launch, you're on your back. Whether you're on the space shuttle or a Saturn V rocket, you're on your back, looking up in a very strange position. It's a very strange position because most Earthlings are vertical. And you're looking at your situation. You're looking at the horizon. You're looking down the road. You're looking at the next step you're going up, the literal step. You're driving. You're looking down the road. You're looking for traffic signals. All that goes strangely far away. You're worried about your next meal, the next bill. You're worried about your health. You're worried about your back. You're worried about your head. You're worried about your mind. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about everything. The astronauts had these concerns also until they were strapped into a capsule that was sitting on top of a freaking bomb. Then all of a sudden, the attention gets maniacally focused on the next world. That's where I am. I don't know if that's where you are, but that's where I am. I have to retract the word maniacally now, because that's extreme. Because I'm still living. I'm still turning on my camera. I'm still uploading shows. I'm still eating breakfast. I had my grapefruit and my cup of coffee and my tablespoon of coconut oil and my two Brazil nuts. That's my breakfast almost every day. I had that this morning. I still brush my teeth, but it's growing old. It's growing tiresome. My affections, and I think I'm speaking to you too, are being focused on the heavens. As I realize that I have to go now, I'm being strapped in. And all my friends are like waving to me. And I'm a pioneer. We're pioneers, members of the body of Christ. We have the right stuff. Really, where I'm really comparing us to the Mercury astronauts, those pioneers, any pioneer, the people who went to California on crumble buggies, on wooden-wheeled crumble buggies, any pioneer. You're the first. And it's hard to be the first. Everybody comes after you. Oh, what was so hard about that? Yeah. Someday they may pave a route up to the top of Mount Everest. That would be unfortunate. Superhighway to the top of Mount Everest. Then everybody would look at, Tenzing Norgay and the other guy and say, oh, what was so hard about that? Yeah, try it without the superhighway. Reinhold Messner, first guy to climb Everest without oxygen. Fortunately, we're not on this walk without oxygen. God is giving us enough to breathe. We have a sustenance enough to get us through another day. From what I'm hearing from you, many of you, it's like that's all you can do is sew another day together. It's like we're in a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7. I'm going to share a video with you. Look for a link underneath here of a space shuttle launch. You can find so many of these great videos that show close-ups of the launch pad, of the well that where the fuel comes down. It's just insane power. It's insane power. It's fantastic. And to think that there are human beings up there on the top. You got to watch this video. It's awesome. Of course, NASA faked the whole thing. Yeah. Well, if you believe that, humor me today and watch the damn fake video, would you? Okay. This is my analogy. Now, I compare this to 1999. There were six of us doing a live radio program from Cleveland, Ohio, on what was the name of that radio station? WCCD, 1000 AM, Cleveland, Ohio, and it was live radio. I had never done live radio before, and I remember driving to the studio for the first time to meet my friends. We had a contract for 5 weeks to do this live radio show. Of course, we were going to talk about something that never went out on Christian radio before. This was a Christian radio station, if I have not mentioned it. We were pioneers in that we were going to do something that had never been done before in Christian radio. That is, we were going to teach the truth. Yeah. And so I was driving there, and I told my wife, I said, God, this is scary. I mean, I'd rather be home right now. I'd really rather be home, honestly, sitting on our living room chair just reading the Bible together instead of going to this place and talking publicly on live radio, which I'd never done before, call-in show, everything. It's like, this is scary. And you're out of your comfort zone. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of our comfort zones. Hello. Yeah, this is not what you wanted to be when you grew up, is it? No. I wanted to be a football player or a pool player for a while. I wanted to be a veterinarian. Then I wanted to be What else did I want to be? I wanted to be Daniel Boone. That's what I wanted to be when I was a kid. I wanted to discover Kentucky, but that had already been done. I like this idea of being a pioneer. Instead, I find out I am a pioneer. This is what I was meant to do, and you also. We want to be something special when we grow up. Little did we know that it was this special. Little did we know, but this is amazing. We're Charles Lindbergh, man. We are Neil Armstrong. We're Orville Wright. We're Chuck Yeager. That's the guy I couldn't think of. Chuck Yeager. Yeah, we're going to be breaking the sound barrier, baby. Mm-hmm. Except, no, we're breaking the immortality barrier. I wonder if that makes a noise. I wonder if breaking the immortality barrier makes a noise. If it does, I can't wait to hear it. I wonder if there's any light associated with it. I wonder if there's any power associated with breaking the immortality barrier. Yes, we're leaving mortality to go to immortality. I wonder if it makes a noise. Well, I don't know if it makes a noise itself, but it is announced with the last trump when Christ comes. And so far, he is the only one who has immortality. No one else has been made immortal yet. I wonder if it makes a noise when Paul comes back from the dead. Yeah, I wonder if there's light and power. Fury, the good kind of fury. Now we're enduring the tough kind of fury, but it's all part of that fuel. I want you to watch that video. It's all part of this. I wanted to give you a video with the actual sound. I don't like these videos where there's music behind the rocket launches. Don't need the music. The only music I need is the actual sound of the freaking power of the freaking jet rocket fuel. That's all I need. I just need the thunder. I don't want Beethoven. I don't want Ozzy Osbourne. I don't want any music. Just give me the raw footage and the raw sound. That's what I want. I want the raw footage. I want the raw sound. I want the raw Christ. I don't want any little fancies. I don't want bows. I don't want ribbons. I don't want anything to eat on the way up. No, I don't need snacks. Thank you. I don't need snacks. We're having a Bible study here. We don't need snacks. Sit down and listen. Sit down and listen. We have food to eat that's much more satisfying than pretzels. So we're being snatched away. The world doesn't even see it. The world has no idea we're being prepared for it right now. Some of them think we're crazy. And yet, we are being loaded onto the rocket. And when we went in that studio in 1999, this is a feeling I had. We get there, and we're talking, we're shown the studio, we're taken into the broadcast room. We talk to the producer, Ricardo Johnson, and then he looks at his watch and says, "Okay, you guys better get in there. We're on the air, and 5 minutes." And we closed the door to Studio 3A. And Ricardo leaves us. And we all sit there with our microphones in front of us, our Bibles stacked four high. Ricardo runs away, goes behind the glass. And he starts the controls up. And we hear the countdown on our headphones. 3, 2, 1. And there's no escaping it. You're on the air. Live. You better think of something to say. Now. We don't have to think of anything to say. But everybody is running away. Everybody else is running away. They don't want anything to do with it. This is so pioneering. It makes the sound barrier look like child's play. It makes even breaking out of the Earth's atmosphere child's play. It makes the overcoming of gravity by a heavier than air object makes that look like child's play. Nobody's going to photograph it. There won't be any famous photographs of the snatching away. but it will be indelibly printed on our minds. And I'll leave you with a thought my friend Matt Rohrbeck had, the guy who proofreads the ZWTF newsletter. He said to me, Martin, someday we are going to look back on the snatching away, and we are going to talk about it in the past tense, and we are going to say, remember when we broke the barrier of mortality and were catapulted by the power of God, by the power of spirit, into immortality, into a realm where we would never die. You remember that? And it was so startling to think of one day looking at that as a past tense event. And the analogy Matt gave me was Christmas. When you're a kid, you look forward to Christmas the whole year, and you're counting down the days to Christmas, 365, 364, and you live for it. And then one day Christmas is behind you. You look behind and it's gone. How could it be that something you're anticipating so much is finally in the past? That's what the snatching away is going to be. Ladies and gentlemen, it is such a real thing. Paul speaks of it proleptically when he says we are seated together among the celestials in Ephesians chapter 2. Someday we will actually be seated among the celestials, and we will look to the past, to history, and it will be historic. It'll be as historic then as like the call of Abraham is now, or the creation of Adam, or the forming of woman, or the crossing of the Red Sea, the deliverance from Egypt, Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the annunciation of Mary, of the mother of Jesus Christ, of Miriam. Any event you want to look at in the biblical timeline from our perspective now, the event we are on the precipice of, on the brink of right now, as we are loaded into this tiny capsule with very few people, while the rest of the world just parties and has fun, and they don't know what's going on, and we're like being steeled and gulped, ready for this thing to ignite and take us to another world. Yes, this is going to be an historical event of epic proportions, and we're going to look back at it someday, and I'm talking someday soon.